should be on our website, just to kind of listen and get the full picture, the full story of five languages of love. We went into more detail about the gift, the gift of love. But this evening we're going to continue with it, and we're talking about the five languages of love. And if I switch this thing on, it might work. If I plugged in a little, talk about breaking the moment, eh? That's better. The five languages of love is what we're going to be talking about, and it's based on Gary Chapman's book, The Five Languages of Love. And he has come to the conclusion through all his counseling that we all have a way of telling the one we love them in a way which is kind of natural to us. That is our natural gift, the natural way we speak about telling them that we love them. But we in turn have a way that if somebody's going to tell us they love us, there's a particular way they need to tell us. Otherwise they may love us, but we are just not going to get the message. For some it's going to be words of affirmation. We will recognize the person's effort. We will tell them that they look great. We will tell them that we appreciate them for who they are. We will appreciate them for what they have done. We will spontaneously pick up the phone and just tell them, give them a word of encouragement. And some find it really easy to do that. And it's easy for them to speak that language of words of affirmation. It comes naturally to them. And there are some people who, when they hear those words of affirmation, they revel in it. Because when they are given words of affirmation, it just tells them that the person loves them. Some of us will simply spend quality time with the person. And to give the person our time and our attention is our way of saying, I love you. Spending time interacting with the person. And for some of us, when our loved one spends time with us, we feel so loved. It's the way that we feel loved. So for us, our language is quality time. Others of us will just want to do stuff for the person that we love, because doing things for them is our way of saying, I love you. And if someone does stuff for you, and that's your language, well, you're going to hear them saying loud and clear, I love you. And if that is the way you communicate love, well, your language is acts of service. Now, none of those may really do it for you. You feel that you need something more tangible. And so when you are hugged, or when the one you love holds your hand, that's when you are going to feel the most loved. And when you see the one that you love, all you want to do is hug them. If that is your default language, then your language is that of physical touch. What about when all you want to do is to give a gift? And I'm not talking about big expensive gifts. I'm talking about a guy walking past a florist, seeing a single daisy, and he goes in and he buys it to give a present to the one he loves. Or you walking along the beach, walking with a dog, and there's an interesting piece of driftwood, and you just pick it up. And you give it to him. It can be something simple like that. It can be something big and expensive. The point of the gift, though, is not what it costs. It's what the gift represents. And that's what I want to focus on tonight as we look at the language of giving gifts. Some of us speak the language of giving gifts, and some of us hear, I love you most when people give us gifts. But before I get there, I want to point something out. It is entirely possible for our partner not to feel loved, even though we do really love them. That cracker for communion. Have another one. You see, we could be giving them gifts when they need quality time. We could be doing a lot of stuff for them. But they need to hear words of affirmation. And so we can love one another, but because we're not speaking their love language, they're not going to hear us tell them that we love them. And so we need to understand what our default language is. And I've got some questionnaires here for you to fill in. We're not going to do it tonight. For those of you who don't have access to internet and aren't familiar with downloading stuff from the internet, take one and fill it in. For those of you who are familiar, go to our website, and I think it's under resources or something, but play around. We've put up a PDF of that little questionnaire, and you can work through it, and it'll point you in a direction of what your love language is. And if your partner also does it, then you will both understand what each other's love language is, and so you can make sure that you start learning to speak their love language. But I want to unpack particularly tonight what the love language of gifts means, and I just want to look at two aspects of it. Firstly, when I give a gift, the most powerful message of a gift is this: I thought about you when you were not there. You got that? When you give a gift, what you are saying is, I thought about you when you weren't there. When you're walking past the florist, your loved one wasn't there, but you thought about them, so you went in and you bought it. And when you're walking along the beach with a dog, your loved one wasn't there, but you saw that driftwood, you thought about them, you picked it up, and you took it to them. Giving a gift means, I thought about you when you were not there. Now, that's what we are saying when we give a gift, and that's what we do most naturally if giving gifts is our language. Now, God speaks that language, and I want to show you how he speaks that language by talking through quickly the process that's involved before we came to the place when we embraced Christ. And I want to do that by comparing what God did with us to a boy who loves a girl and sets about wooing her. See, he sees this amazing girl and he's smitten. Trouble is, the girl doesn't even know that he exists. He loves her, but she never even thinks about him, although he thinks about her all the time. And so he starts planning and strategizing ways to meet her. He becomes part of her social group. He finds out that she rides a bicycle. So he starts cycling and joins a group that she cycles with. Eventually, he ends up saying hello to her. Eventually, he has a conversation with her. Eventually, the two of them together go cycling. Eventually, he has coffee with them. Eventually, she gets the message and she starts to respond, even enjoys his company. Eventually, they start dating. Eventually, they get married. It started when he loved her, even though she wasn't aware of it. He thought about her even when she never gave him a thought. And that is essentially the process of becoming a Christian. There was a time when you didn't even think about Jesus. You weren't particularly aware of his existence, but Jesus was aware of you and he loved you. And he started by his Holy Spirit to woo you, even though you were not aware of him, you were not aware of what he was doing, until one day you were ready to receive the gift of Jesus himself. Remember what a gift says? I thought about you even when you were not around. And that's basically what Jesus did for us. He thought about us even when we were not around, because we were totally unaware of him. And if gifts is your language, because when somebody gives you a gift, you are excited about it because you were thought of when you weren't there. If you understand that Jesus thought about you when you weren't around, then this will excite you. The thinking about how Jesus thought about you, gave himself for you, even when you were not around. Listen to this. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. You see, all the time we weren't thinking about him. All the time he was busy working, bringing us to the place where he could give himself to us. God speaks your language. If your language is gifts, because he thought about you, even when you weren't thinking about him. But there's another aspect to this gift of gifts, this language of gift. And he has a second aspect of this that I want to speak about. I've been thinking about Mary, the mother of Jesus, in this context. And I have an idea that her love language was gifts. I mean, think about Mary. There she was, a teenager. She was already engaged to be married to Joseph. And she's greeted by the angel of the Lord. "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus." Now, she's engaged. She's not married. She lives in a close-knit, very conservative community. And when the angel said that to her, a couple of things may have been going through her mind. How can I conceive if I'm not married? And if I did conceive and become pregnant without being married, I know I'm going to be ostracized by this conservative community. Plus, a child born would have the distinction in that community of being illegitimate. Maybe these things are not such a big deal in our community, but in those days, a pregnant, unmarried woman could be executed. And yet all Mary asks is this: how will this be, since I'm a virgin? Mary certainly understood the angel to mean that she would be pregnant before she was married. In other words, before she had had sexual relations with Joseph, she would become pregnant. And her question is, how can I become pregnant without intercourse? And in a beautiful and sensitive and powerful way, the angel explains, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One born will be called the Son of God. Why do I think Mary's language was gifts? Well, all those really challenging implications notwithstanding, listen to Mary's response. "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me according to your word." You see, Mary's language was gifts. And what she had to give was herself. The strongest way she could say, "I love you," was to give herself, even at the cost that it would be for her. If gifts is our love language, then God speaks our language. He thought of us when we weren't around. And if gifts is our love language, God understands it when we speak to him. He hears, "I love you," through the gifts we bring. And this is the second aspect of gifts as a language. It is giving the gift. We are symbolically giving ourselves. This morning, we refer to the widow who was standing in that long line of worshippers, and Jesus and his disciples were watching. And all these rich people were putting in vast sums of money into the treasury. And this poor widow came by and gave the equivalent of a couple of rand. Jesus was unmoved by the vast sums. And yet when the widow put in her coin, Jesus became excited. You see, she was speaking her language. In giving her few coins, she was giving herself. And Jesus saw that and received it and heard, "I love you." Or like the prostitute we looked at this morning who gate-crashed the party that was given in honor of Jesus. She had that expensive perfume with which to anoint Jesus' feet, and she did it. She didn't do it in order to earn anything. Jesus tells us that her gift was an expression of her great love because she had already been forgiven much. Giving the perfume was symbolic of her giving herself. And Jesus heard, "I love you." For those whose default language is gifts, when we give a gift, we have no stronger way of saying, Lord, I love you. And when we are given a gift in the context of a relationship with a loved one, we strongly hear the words, I love you. What language does your partner speak? Do you know what language your partner speaks? Please take that little questionnaire seriously, whether you take it from here or download it from the internet. It will point you into the direction of not only what your love language is, but as you do it with your partner, you will know what their love language is. And the love language they speak may not be your default language. Learn a new language. You can do it. The rewards are worth it. And if it's gifts, remember, it's not the cost of the gift that's important. It's the fact that you thought of them while they were not there. It's the fact that in giving the gift, you are giving yourself. In worship, if this is your language, you're going to revel in the thought that God thought about you, even when you were not aware of them. You will revel as you think of all the gifts God has given you. And in worship, you will find yourself offering yourself to Him like the woman with the perfume and Jesus' feet, like the widow who gave the little coin. You will rejoice in the opportunity of being able to give for His work in response to all He has done. Now we've got a questionnaire. We've got a couple of questions that we're going to be handing out. In fact, somebody from your table can just come and collect them. And we're going to spend the next couple of minutes just discussing these questions. These questions relate to what we've spoken about. If you need more, you can come and get some more. Me. All right, now I've handed them all out. If you go to one of those tables that have got, they've got more than they need. All right, just somebody appoint yourself leader, not leader, just facilitator. Just ask the question and just discuss it for the next 10 or 15 minutes. I'm around if you want to speak to me, just grab me.